guys can have your seats. And I want to get just sorted. I don't belong. Can everybody say with me, the Feast of Tabernacles? Okay, I'm also going to just switch on some lights so that I can see you. And I believe it's going to be a blessing. And after this, we're going to pray for miracles. And we'll see as the Holy Spirit leads. But I want to, we still have two nights to go. And, you know, I was once in a conference. It was, I think you guys were with and you were witnesses of it at Pastor Mark. Can you guys hear me in the back? Huh? Amen. I was at Destiny. And you remember the lady with the broken hip? And we had a conference this Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday, and the Wednesday. And the Sunday, she came to church with a broken hip. Listen, I mean, like, she had a walker, and I had to carry her in, and she couldn't, I mean, she was crying every night of pain, this woman. And she was due for a hip replacement that week. Okay? And we prayed for the Sunday, and nothing happened. I prayed for the Monday, and she cries, and nothing happened. I prayed for the Tuesday and she cried and nothing happened. I thought, dear God, I'm not going to pray for this woman again because it's really getting embarrassing. And we got to the Wednesday, and I remember the Wednesday morning, and I stood, I was praying in my room, and God took me into a vision. I saw how I was pulling somebody like out of a picture, like out of a wheelchair type setting almost. And the person stood up and began to walk. Now I'll still teach you on Yetzer Nabat Rayon. Da-da, da-da. Some of you don't even know what I'm saying, but those are the Hebrew dimensions for having visions. So you can actually visualize. When I say visualize, in a God sense, when I pray for people, when I stand, when I go and prophesy, even before this meeting even happens, sometimes I see it in my bedroom as I'm praying or praying for the meeting. It's a rayon yetzer nabat. There's many different dimensions. Nebuchadnezzar was lying on his bed, and rayon, the thoughts of God, came into his head and spoke about the future. This is a wicked, evil king, yet he had the ability to see the future because of the thoughts of God that comes from. That's Rayon. Rayon is our ability to actually see the future. Then you have Yetzer, which God speaks of imaginations, the imagination of a person's heart, the imagination of the thoughts of a person's heart, which when God plays that inside of you, it's like you see a picture before it happens. It's like I see something before it takes place in the service. And that's what was happening that Wednesday morning. I was sitting on my knees, and the power of God came on me as I saw this happening in my heart. It happened. It's like here. I don't know how to explain it. Go with me like this. As listening, and I'm going to just say it out, playing out straight. Somebody's like, you know, I was preaching in a church, and God bless everyone. You know, Leon, we don't say white people here. We don't say black people here. We don't say colored people. We just say people. And I'm like, listen. You know, yeah, and so go so silent. You know, if I'm Lloyd as white can be. Okay, like we called him Casper, and I took such offense when I did that when I was very younger. You remember? Of Casper or something, I can't remember. But yes, I mean, the man is white. He can't be in the sun. If he goes into the sun, he fries. Okay? As white as what he is, there's people that is black as what I can be black. I wish I was black. I really do. Because, you see, but what happens with white is that people with white people, they're a bit reserved. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. They're a bit reserved. And I was in this church preaching, and I said, listen, just stop being white. And this, I got into trouble. And listen, if you're black, you're black, you're white, you're white, you're brown, you're pink, you're pink. Okay, now we're getting all racial and sensitive, and don't mention this word, don't mention that word. No, you're just being, don't want to offend. Listen here, we're not here to offend. If you cut me, my blood is red. If you cut Lebo, her blood is red. It doesn't matter what the outside is, amen? And if you really study the Gospels, no, I'm not going to say that. Because you will be so offended. Was Jesus white or black? I'll leave it there. I'll leave it right there for you. I didn't say anything. I didn't say nothing. Nothing, okay? But he grew up on the soil of Africa, I'm just saying. So, there's every racist thing out now, hey? Every white privilege is gone there right now. So, I didn't say he's black. I also didn't say he's white. Okay, so don't go put words. We don't say Jesus is black. I never said that. I just said he grew up in Africa. As he picked up his cross and he was walking, the man that helped him carry his cross was a Nigerian. Huh? A black man, Nigerian, that helped him carry his cross. Which means that, listen here, if you want to be in the safest place at the end times, you want to be in Africa. South Africa, I promise you. You don't want to be in America right now. You don't want to be in America in November. You don't want to be in America in November. Amen. Who's going to be president? You don't want to be in America. You have one that's God's choice and one that's man's choice. And in Saul, the book of Bible, the man elected the king. It doesn't mean that was God's will. Amen. It's just the people got what they got, what they wanted. So Africa is the safest place. But say with me, Feast of Tabernacles. Let's get into that because I'm going to get in too much trouble. People are going to phone me and rebuke me this week coming. I never thought it was problems to be a pastor. I was enjoying itinerant ministry until. But there are lovely people here. That's part of our family, so we love you. And I know you don't judge me or criticize me. Listen, I want to get this through to you. I want to explain to you the prophetic meaning. The Hebrew year that we are in right now is what we call, it's two names. You can either call it Ayin Zayin, which is 77, or you can call it Hey Zayin Zayin Zayin, because it is the year 5777. Can everybody say with me 5777? I am not into numerology, but this is very important to know because this is the Jewish. We determine now as being in 2010. But the actual Hebraic calendar is saying that we are in year 5777. Are you guys with me? Which is a very significant year because I can take you right from the beginning, from 1777 to 2777, and every time 1,000 years later, that we are right now on 6,000 years. And we are in, we are on 5,000 years. Then we're going into 6,000. Then we're going into 7,000. I'll explain to you tonight what happens at 7777. Now these are from like your roots of your Jewish or your Hebrew type people that will explain to you, from the rabbis to the teachers, that will explain to you how they work it out exactly. You will understand just now. But for the beginning, I want you just to see this. The word 70, because we are now 77. 5,777, but let's just look at 77. The word 70, Ayin, means to see and to discern and to watch. The word Zayin, which is 7, we are now, last year it was Ayin Vav, which was 6. The year before that was Ayin Dalet, which was 5. Are you guys with me? So we are now in Ayin Zayin, if I can say it like that, 77, which is Zayin. The word Zayin means this. And I want you to stay close to me. I made a statement this morning. I said this, you'll hear tonight how the season of Christ's return is determined. I didn't say the day or the hour. I say the season. The Bible says we will know the season, but we won't know the day nor the hour. Are you guys with me? He will come like a thief at night, but at least I can tell you that is very close. And you'll see right now. Listen. The word Zayin means the 7 where we are in right now. It means the crowned man, the coming of the King of Kings, the return of the crowned man. That's what 7 means. It means also the year of the ruling sword. It means the year of rest. Say with me, rest. It means Sabbath. It means time endings and time beginnings. And it means harvest and food. But more than that, the year 7. Listen here, every seventh year and every seventh cycle, the earth resets itself. I want you guys to remember that. Say with me, reset. Every seventh cycle, the earth resets itself. If you study everything from astronomy to everything, you'll see that there's cycles of 7 that takes place. So we are now again in 7, which means that there is a resetting. You know, when in the year of Jubilee, and I'm not saying we are now in the year of Jubilee, but in the year of Jubilee, it's also a resetting. And what happens is whatever debt the people of God had was cancelled and the things was given back to them. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Every slave was set free during the year of Jubilee. And right now we are in 7, 5, 7, 7, 7. And which means that the year resets it, which means that whatever situation, whatever problem you've had, whatever you have gone through the last few years, business problems, money problems, health problems, family problems, it is not only a new year coming, but there's a resetting that is taking place. But God resets it and say, I'm starting now a new cycle and a new season. And not only that, we have just stepped into a new millennium according to the Jewish calendar. Which means that there in the year 2000, when it was our millennium, we all said there was our Y2K and etc. and etc. And we thought that, listen, all the computers were going to crash and you need to be Y2K compliant. I want to tell you right now, you're Y2K compliant in the spirit. Because in the year 2000, it was not the actual millennium that was turning. Right now, this year, October, is the shift and the change into a new millennium. That's why last year you would see the blood moons. This year we're shifting into the new millennium in the realm of the spirit, which means that God is resetting everything in your life. And you have tonight, tomorrow night, and the night thereafter to take an opportunity and say, God, this is a reset. This is a brand new beginning. He resets it completely. God is a God who doesn't even look at your sin. He cannot see it. All he sees when he looks at you is the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see what you did yesterday, and you'll never be judged for your sins. You'll be judged for your good works. Amen. So do some good work. So listen, I'm going to read this and I'm going to just censor a bit of stuff. But the first and foremost aspect to note in this year, this is what the Hebraic number means. It says that there's a change of season and a change of era. It is one that's going to bring a great harvest for people. The word seven means harvest. It is a sword for three things. It is a sword for battle, for war. It is a sword for harvest. And it is a sword for resting. Are you guys with me? I don't know how to explain, but the word of God means rest. So, and it also speaks of this is what it says. It speaks of kings changing, a government changing, and a kingdom changing. A governmental structure that is changing that's going to affect the whole world. Now, I'm just reading to you because every year on seven, when every 1,000 years ago on seven, there was the same shift that took place. 1,000 years before that, you'll see the Roman Empire again, a shift that took place that would affect literally history. That's what we're in right now. Now, I'm not saying that this year is going to be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't misquote me. I said that in this millennium, so at least I'm giving you 1,000 years, and you cannot say, I didn't say where it is. And it will be in the first half according to how they work it out. And I'll show you just now how they work it out. You'll understand it just now. But let me just jump to here. The words are the seven. Number seven also means this. It means to be a crowned man. It's representing a man and a straight light from God to man. Zion is therefore to be seen to represent a returning light of heaven, a crowned man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, the word five is what we call hey. I don't know how to explain it, but it means hey. That's kind of like what it, and it means it's a picture of a man whose arms is raised. This meaning includes to look, to reveal, to breathe, and to behold. It speaks of God's divine breath that was placed in man. And if you take five and seven, you get the image where God changed the name from Abram to Abraham, from Sarah to Saraha. Are you guys with me? He added his breath to it. Abram, Abraham. So that's where you get the 5-7 with, which means that God takes man and he adds his divinity to it and he becomes the divine breath. You and I are living in this, and this is why from 5,000, the last 1,000 years, you'll see that much things are beginning to be restored to the body of Christ. Sorry, the last 700 years, from the gifts of the Holy Ghost to the offices of the in the body, the fivefold giftings in this number five, the fivefold ministry was restored. Grace, the revelation of grace was restored to the body of Christ. The number five means grace, and it means a lot of things in that regard, but it is where God started using man again. Before that, the dark ages was kind of like hiding things away. Are you guys with me? I just want to read you. The divine presence, meaning of his character, I said this to you, is also revealed when we look at the calling into God's purpose. When looking at the Hebrew, the introduction of hey, the word five, by God to Abram and Sarai, creating Abraham and Sarai. The prefix means man and God breathing into them. That is what's happening right now. 5 also speaks of the fivefold ministry that is coming back, and now people are understanding apostolic, the prophetic. They're understanding grace. God said to Zerubbabel, he said, listen here, say to this mountain that is rising up before you, be made plain by the shouts of grace. Grace. Are you guys with me? I was sharing something this morning about grace, and everybody just went stiff. And then I said something to my team afterwards that I won't say to you because I'll get into trouble. But listen, we have been so focused on our own sins and our own failures. God, what did I do yesterday? God, what did I do last month? What did I do last year? You cannot use me for your glory. You cannot do this. How are you going to bless me? Because, hey, you keep referring to the past. Paul says, when Christ was crucified, I was crucified with him. My mortal body was put to the death. Sin was put to death. Listen to me. Sin was dealt with a cruel blow once and for all. And that was over 2,000 years ago upon that cross. And what we're doing is we continue reminding God of our sinful nature. And we keep saying, God, but because of this sin, because, hey, listen here, God is saying, I have placed the blood. Listen here, one of the feasts is called Passover. They had to put blood on the doorposts. Are you guys with me? When the spirit of death, which was God, would come and move there, he would look for the blood. And where there was blood on the house, he would pass over that house. So if he passed over. So when he saw the blood, he passes over. He didn't look into the house and looked, okay, there's a drug addict. Your son, wait. Your son there has got some problems. Bring him out because he cannot be under the blood. No. He looked for one requirement, the blood of the Lamb. Because, listen, there's one thing that can blind God. There's one thing that can blind God. It is his son's blood. That when you stand in front of him, he doesn't see your old works. He doesn't see sin. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. You don't look too excited, even sitting in the back. You don't look too excited. This means that you will not be judged for your sins. Hey. You're not getting it. Hey, if you do want to be judged, you can be judged, brother. I don't want to be judged for my sins. I know that the blood was shed once and for all. And when I stand in front of him, even though I'm a mess, I say to somebody, Jesus came for those who are sick, not for those who are healed. So don't be healed, be sick. I'm speaking spiritually. Come on, guys, with me. Otherwise what? Otherwise Jesus didn't come for you. Because you healed, you're pretty good. Oh, but when you know, man, I'm a wretched man, like the Apostle Paul says. I do the thing that I don't want to do, and I don't do the thing I do want to do. What's going on? I don't know how to get it right. Oh, wretched man that I am. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. So he recognized that I cannot do this without you. And when you have that attitude, you know, God, I am a mess and a mess and a mess without your grace and without your blood. That means that Jesus came for you. I don't want to stand in a place where Jesus didn't come for me. I want to stand in a place because if I'm healed, he's going to just walk past me. Okay, you don't need me. I'm going to go to somebody that needs me. Amen. Listen, I need to get to this. Okay, so let me explain to you. Yes. Before I close, give me five minutes, and then I'll close. We're gonna pray for miracles, and then we'll see miracles take place, and it'll build every night higher and higher and higher. For some people, this might be too much. It's okay. For some people, it's not at all too much. You're my kind of people, so you can stay. And if you want more and more, you need to pull on me. Amen. You need to pull upon the mantle. I want to explain to you this. Listen here. So that you can understand, because some have questions. But when you're speaking about this return of the Lord Jesus Christ and all this stuff, we are right. Okay, everybody say with me. Say 5, 777. Now, in a